Good evening. Welcome to the August 23rd, 2011 Morro Bay City Council meeting. Let the record reflect that all members of City Council are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. And if you would please stand and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Ms. Andrea Luker.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good to see everybody here tonight, especially the high school football players. I could be a little more organized, but here we go. Visitor Center Workshop will be September 8th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. here in the Vets Hall. Anybody interested in giving input on your feelings about the Visitor Center, where it is now, if you feel it should be moved, that would be the day to come in. The sign ordinance workshop is tentatively scheduled for September 29th and October 4th, 8 to 11 a.m. in this room here in the Vets Hall. That is a tentative date. Watch the website, and I'm sure by next meeting we'll have that nailed down. And I turn to Carla.
Good evening. Thank you. As you can see, the football players are here, so school starts tomorrow, so I just hope everybody will be on the lookout for a lot of students on bikes and drivers heading to the high school. The next council meeting, I believe, also is our joint planning commission meeting, unless something's changed, so we would be here an hour before, and that's all I have for right now.
Nancy?
Oh, boy. Dahlia Days starts this Friday evening from 5 to 8 with the wine and cheese reception. And Kevin Larkin, who's the vice president of the National Dahlia Society, will be our keynote speaker at 6 o'clock. And this will be followed by some wonderful raffle prizes and our annual Art in Bloom display. This is a time when local artists display their work, which is for sale, and local floral designers create arrangements to go with the art. Then Saturday, we start at 10 a.m. until 4 with dahlias for sale, as well as a wonderful variety of dahlias on display, and more raffle prizes and a variety of information tables. Among those, as you will see on the screen, we have dahlia displays by the Montaña de Oro District of the California Garden Clubs. The Morro Bay 4-H will be there, Master Gardeners. Excuse me. The Morro Bay Tree Committee will have an informational table, as well as the Rare Fruit Growers of California. So plan to join us both days, and with permission of the mayor, we'll please Mr. whoever he is over there, Noah Smuckler, talk about Cypress Nights.
We'll skip right to you, Noah. Go ahead.
Why, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. It does feel like one of those days.
And yes,
this year we have joined. I'm a representative of the Morro Bay Volunteer Tree Committee, and we've joined with the Morro Bay Garden Club to produce and develop the program for Dahlia Days and Cypress Nights. Of course, we're focusing on the Cypress Nights components. We are going to start the tree committee side of things on Saturday at 10 a.m. with what will be a downtown historical tree walk in our downtown area. Of course, leaving from the Morro Bay Community Center where the event is centered. And the walk will be led by Dr. Matt Ritter from Cal Poly. He's a biologist who has a great passion for trees, has written multiple books on trees throughout California. And he's actually scouted out the tree walk that we're going to be taking based on the historical walking tour that our History Society has put together. And what's kind of exciting is we're planning on utilizing some local books that have been written by local authors to highlight some of the pictures and history of the urban forest and the trees in our community as we walk around with Dr. Ritter. So we'll have members of the Volunteer Tree Committee with us, and Dr. Ritter and anyone else is welcome to join. We're going to be starting that at 10. And noon, back at the Community Center, Dr. Ritter is going to do a presentation on the book he's recently released called Trees of California. And it's going to be a slideshow, briefly interrupted by the PG&E warning sirens at 12:30, and then back to the slideshow again to finish it off and, of course, continue with Dahlia Day's festivities the rest of the afternoon. And then that night, we're pleased to announce that we are hosting a community barn dance, basically modeled after the old-time dances that we've read about in some of these very historical books, where the community got together, put our differences aside, and danced the night away. This is for all family members, community members. It starts at 5 p.m. with We Are Three, a local community trio that has a lot of different styles and is sure to please and warm the stage up for actually our headliner, which is the Red Skunk Gypsy Swing Band, a group of local musicians that have grown up in the area and become quite famous now for their musical styles. And that dance is going to go from 5 till 9 p.m. It's free to get in with any donations for the food, beer, wine, or just being present at the dance, going towards the scholarship that the Morro Bay Garden Club puts together and to support future efforts such as this. So we invite you to come out both days this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Community Center. And if you do need any more information, you can contact either Nancy Johnson or myself.
Thank you, Noah. I didn't know we had any differences, but it's good. We'll go to the barn.
Yeah.
Now. George?
I had a few more announcements.
You have more announcements?
Yeah, just a few more.
A few more.
If you don't mind.
I'll give my time.
Oh. No, you may have George's
time. Thank you, Mr. League. A couple of things. Well, one, another workshop that's coming up that's very exciting is the first Morro Bay Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan. It's a draft that is being released for public's review. I believe we'll hear more about this during public comments, but that's going to be this Tuesday, August 30th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Morro Bay Veterans Hall. And basically, it's about how can we do and improve the opportunity for people to transport themselves throughout the community, walking or riding a bicycle. And it will be the first bicycle and pedestrian plan in the history of Morro Bay. So that's very exciting and an important time for anyone that has interest in walking or bicycling around town to come out and let the staff know, let us know what your priorities are, what you think are areas we can improve, and where we might be able to make a difference with how you can get around town for non-motorized transportation. So once again, that presentation is Tuesday, August 30th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Veterans Hall, and there's information at the city's website if you'd like to find out more. And my other comment tonight, announcement, is PG&E has initiated the installation of smart meters in our community. So we had a resolution from the council requesting that they postpone that installation until the California Public Utilities Commission had actually made their ruling on an alternative option so people could have a choice whether they would like the smart meter or not. Unfortunately, PG&E is going ahead with the installation of them, and it's important that if you are concerned and would like to wait until the CPUC, the Utilities Commission, actually puts out their ruling, you need to call a phone number. It's PG&E's phone number to opt out. It's been announced multiple times, but that number is 1-866-743-0263, and once again, that's 866-743-0263, and that simply says, I'd like to postpone the installation of my smart meter until there's an alternative plan announced. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Great, Noah, thank you. Closed session report is, there is no closed session report because we had no closed session. Okay, we're at public comment period. I have four people I'm going to put up front. Mr. Bueno in the high school first, then Becca with Harbor Department, and then Red on the bicycle, the Lighthouse bike ride, and then Annie Clapp with the Chablis. So if Mr. Bueno and his team, part portion of his team, would like to step up. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes. Please bring your comments to a conclusion if the buzzer goes off. Please state your name for the record. Good evening, James and team.
Thank you.
Welcome.
My name is James Bueno. I'm the coach at Morobe High School. One of the things that the football team is looking to do this year is to become come together with the community. We'd like for the city to come to us if you need any volunteers for anything that we can do for you. One of the big things that we are doing for the community this year is what we call the 12th man. The 12th man is my shirt. As you know, there's 11 people on the team, on the field at once, and the community is the 12th man. So we'd like for the community, you know, to come to the games and show their support, and we'd like to support the community as well, and that's pretty much what we're looking to do this year. We're excited. We believe we're going to do well, and we did well last year, and we have these great gentlemen here that play for us that work hard, and they're going to do very good. So I'll let them introduce themselves and say something.
Hello, Jake Beavers. I'm a three-year returning varsity linebacker. I'll just like to say we got a group, great group of guys this year, and we've been working very hard on off-season. We've been really putting a lot of effort into fundraising. Looking forward to making our not only our school but our program much better. We bought new equipment this year, so we're really excited this year, and we're gonna have a good season.
Hey, I'm Jonathan Miller, and I play strong tackle and defensive guard. And I'm just saying, work hard and hope to see you guys out there.
Hi, my name is Nick Sedevendemi. I play center, and we've been working really hard this year. And like Jake said, we've been fundraising, and we're just really looking to get the community involved in our program and hoping to see success in the future. Thanks.
Bryce Owens, I'm a senior. I'm the varsity quarterback. Like the guys said, I'd like to reiterate, we'd really like to get you guys involved. You know, come to the games, give us as much support as you guys can, and we'll do the same in return. Really excited about the season, and we hope to see you guys out there. So, and if it's okay, I'd like to present each member of the city council with a 12th man t-shirt at this time.
Cool. We love t-shirts.
Our first game is at home against Carpinteria on the 9th. Oh,
what was your name again?
Yeah.
Brian.
And we play San Luis, I believe, the 23rd, in 3 weeks after.
And that's here?
San Luis is away, not that far away, but we'd love to support. We'd love to beat San Luis, of course.
I will encourage everybody to attend your games.
Awesome. I appreciate it. And unfortunately, we can't stay. We've got to get back to practice to keep working. So thank you very much.
We're glad you came down today.
You gentlemen, enjoy this time of your life because you're going to see it's the best.
I tell them that all the time. Thank you.
Thank you. We love the Pirates. Now, Becca Kelly, if you'd like to come up. Becca is our Harbor Patrol Supervisor, and she is going to make a presentation. Good evening, Becca.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The Harbor Department would like to recognize Scott Baxic for his assistance to upgrade and maintain our beach wheelchair. The beach wheelchair is a well-used piece of equipment that is available for loan with no charge to allow disabled persons to enjoy our coastline since it can be pushed through the soft sand. Scott took it upon himself to make it useful for a quadriplegic and more comfortable for all users to enjoy the coast. He worked on this project for more than 10 hours, and it all came out of his own pocket. And the Harbor Patrol just greatly appreciates his help with that, because we actually use the beach wheelchair for rescues as well in the sand spit or on the beach. We also want to thank a local business, the Mobility Masters, for their help in giving all the parts at cost to Scott and their willingness in the future to do the same. They were unable to attend the meeting tonight, but if you could help me to welcome Scott up here so we can give him a certificate of appreciation.
Coming up, Scott.
Thank you.
Could I say a quick thank you to Paul and Tom at Mobility Masters, especially Paul for putting up with me bugging him, and also my son who also pitched in, Cole Baxic. Thank you.
On
and the city and the Harbor Patrol.
On behalf of the City Council, we thank you, and we will pass along our thanks to Mobility Masters as well. Thank you so much. One more hand from Scott, please. Red, can we invite you up, please?
Mr. Mayor, council members, good evening. My name's Robert Davis. I live in Morro Bay. I'm speaking tonight as a representative of the San Luis Obispo Bike Club to tell you about our annual bicycling event that's going to come to Morro Bay next month. The Bike Club will host its 40th annual Lighthouse Bike Ride for Charities on September 24th. It's the last Saturday of September. We expect about 1,200 bicycle riders on the route starting at 7 a.m. And we tell the riders that we require them to ride safely, to observe traffic laws, to share the road with cars, and to respect local residents. The route's mostly on Highway 1 between Cuesta College and Piedras Blancas. They will ride to the lighthouse and then back to the college. Cyclists will ride through Morro Bay twice, once in the morning going north and then coming back in the afternoon to Cuesta College. And they'll ride primarily on Quintana, Main Street, and North Main. The course opens at 7 and closes at 5. We've contracted with CHP to pay for 3 units to patrol the route, and we will provide marshals at each major street crossing in Morro Bay. The Lighthouse Bike Ride for Charities is one of the bike club's 2 annual fundraising events, and our purpose is to raise money to fund local high school and college scholarships and to support local charities. This year, we're donating more than $55,000 from our events to San Luis Obispo County schools and charities, and that includes donations to the Morro Bay Police Department Community Service Volunteers and to the Morro Bay 4th of July Committee to support bike valet parking at the bike parade. We also support Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers to help them build and maintain trails in Morro Bay State Park and Montaña de Oro. We try to work with local communities to make the ride safe for everyone and to minimize the impact of the event. And we ask that you help us by passing the word to your neighbors about the ride. Anyone who wants more information can call the club at 543-5973. Thank you.
Thank you, Red. We wish a successful Lighthouse Bike Ride. And finally, Ms. Annie Clapp for the Chablis. Thank you for your patience, Annie. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. My name is Annie Clapp, and I'm with the Chablis. And then we also have a sister company, the Morro Bay Coffee Company, and that kind of supports the Chablis. That's where we do our off-site catering. The Chablis is a cruise dinner boat that graces the harbor of Morro Bay Boulevard, or Morro Bay, on the Embarcadero. We do private charters. We also do public functions. Our public functions right now are our Sunday champagne brunch. We're going to go through the end. Actually, we're going to be closed Labor Day, but and then after the summer, we usually do it twice a month, and you can always check out our website at ChablisCruises.com. We also do a lot of private functions. We do weddings, rehearsal dinners, family reunions, parties. One thing that a lot of people don't know is that we also do fundraisers, and that's been really successful. Different charities will come on board, and we have a really wonderful package that we offer, and then they, of course, you know, will be able to sell tickets at any price that they want. So we've done lots of different charities, and it's been really beneficial for both of us. The Morro Bay Coffee Company is located on the corner of Quintana and Morro Bay Boulevard, and that's a fair trade organic coffee shop. And then my husband does all the baking there. Everything's made from scratch daily, which is pretty exciting. And the phone number for that is 772-8880, and we do a lot of coffee donations too, you know, for the high school, the cheerleaders and such. I want to thank you guys so much. It's really a blessing to be in a community like this. I mean, just the Harbor Patrol that was here, I thought, oh my goodness, I've called them so many different times, and it's just wonderful. And also the different people up here, thank you so much, and thank you for allowing me to be here.
Thanks for coming tonight, Annie.
Can you say what your hours are at the coffee shop, please?
Oh, thank you. I didn't put that in my notes. We open at 6 in the morning, and we close at 5 o'clock, and except on Sundays, we close at 3 o'clock. Thank you.
Thanks again. We're at open mic now. Everybody knows how it works. Good evening and welcome.
Hello, my name is Tom Martin. I'm from Morro Bay Garbage, and I'm just here to remind everybody about Cleanup Week. I know it's a little bit early, but we're talking about September 12th through the 16th of September. You get to put out 12 extra cans over and above what your normal service is. And if you have any big bulky items, call ahead of time, and there's a reduced rate for that, but you need to call ahead of time to make sure we get it picked up, because it's picked up by a different vehicle than the garbage trucks. So we need to schedule that. And time to clean up all that junk in the side yard and get rid of it. Just bag it up or tie it up or bundle it up so we can grab it and go. That's it.
And we appreciate that service very much, and thank you for being here tonight.
And I have a whole bunch of extra flyers I'll leave with you.
Great. And we love your jacket. Who would like to go next? Good evening, Betty.
Good evening. My name is Betty Winholtz, and I'm going to try to touch on four different items in 3 minutes. I want to kind of do in reverse order of the agenda. I would like to start with D2, which is about your advisory packet that you've going to be voting on to approve tonight. I would like to suggest that on page 6, where you talk about qualifications for people who are applying for positions, that I think you've put in a paragraph that's kind of a disincentive when you say you need to know economics, you need to know the law, you need to know how this and that. I think people that apply for public advisory boards need to be good, upstanding citizens, as you've put in the previous paragraphs, but to put in those kinds of expectations, I think it discourages people from applying when they're already good thinkers. And some of those concepts seem so overwhelming that they won't apply. And so I would encourage you to rewrite that paragraph or take it out. In terms of D1, which is the master fee schedule, I'm disappointed that this is not a public hearing instead, since you're taking money from the public and from developers and from all of us to put in money. It seems to me that that would have been a more appropriate venue, was to have a public hearing on that. One thing I do want to bring to your attention is on page 6, and it has new page 6 as opposed to old page 6, and it's the appeal fee. When people are unhappy with a decision that the Planning Commission has made and wants to appeal it to the City Council, you've put that on a cost of living increase, or however that is that you're doing that. And I believe that if you'll go back and check the record, that that was a one-time fee that was not to be elevated at $250. And so I hope that you will research that and pull that out, and if I'm wrong, please let me know, but I think that that needs to be looked at rather than passed. I also have a concern about under the Harbor Department, where they're suggesting that there be an annual parking fee for tidelands at $100. To me, that defeats the purpose of why we instituted that fee in the first place, was to encourage people not to stay for long terms and over time. And if you have a flat $100 fee for the year, I can see people coming in and staying for as long as they want. I would like to address A4, which is the bringing back the resolution regarding the development impact fees, which is kind of ironic because you're talking about the impact fees in D1. And just as a comparison, you'll see that in the development fees section of D1, that a commercial person per foot is paying $1.12. A resident is paying $1.12 per foot, and the commercial is only paying 22 cents. So to give them that benefit is kind of a small token, and maybe that was your intent, but it certainly takes away from the coffers and is requiring the rest of us to have to pay for what they're bringing into the community that's going to impact our services and infrastructure and yet not pay
Thank
for
you,
it.
Thank you, Betty. Thank you. Who would like to go next? Good evening, John. Welcome.
Good evening, Your Highness. Name is John Solu, citizen Morro Bay business owner. I'm here for two things. One is to let you know that I'm very excited to let you know for those of us that look at statistical reports, for the first time as long back as I can remember, Morro Bay for the month of June had the highest increase in occupancy than any other city in the county. So for the first time in the month of June, City of Morro Bay had gained more occupancy, more market share than the rest of the county, which means that we actually, for the first time, stole people from other communities within the county. So that's exciting news. Unfortunately, we still have to work on our occupancy. We ran at 58% when the whole county ran about a 74%. But for the month of June, that's a lot to say. But my main other reason I am here is to also report to you that my other disgust and disappointment of an ex-elected official distributing anti-city propaganda to visitors and tourists this past weekend in this town. After I personally asked this individual not to do it in the business forum meeting that we had last Thursday, somebody needs to tell Betty Winholtz that hotel owners, taxpayers, and tourism-related businesses work too hard and spend over too much money, over $600,000, just from the city coffers, let alone what we spent originally to bring these people, work hard, and bring these individuals to this town. Please, next time, Betty, when you drive through town that is paid by the taxpayers, do not distribute negative flyers to our tourists that support our city and pay for all the things that we enjoy in this town. Thank you, and have a nice meeting, like Roger Ewing says.
Thank you, John. Who'd like to go next? Hi, Gary.
Hi. Gary Johnson, live here in Morro Bay. I do want to say one thing before you get started here. I really enjoy the football games at the Morro Bay High School. And the students there are fantastic. They're polite. You don't hear any swearing. There's hundreds of kids there, and it's really super. So support the football team. And I'm not really a negative person. I'm a person that enjoys Morro Bay. I belong to the – I'm a docent at the Morro Bay – at the museum there at the state park. And we don't pick on or suggest to any particular animal, but we do save and protect our wildlife in the estuary. So to the mayor, city council, and TV land, I ditto what John had to say about the sea otter issue. I love my community and how Morro Bay residents living here protects wildlife and the environment. The city council is doing a proclamation not only for the sea otters, but to all wildlife on the Central Coast, especially for Morro Bay. That is a great plus for our community. Now, I have two businesses in Morro Bay that not only generates revenue for us, but also takes in taxes for the city and the state. Now, Betty Winholt has an issue with the Chamber of Commerce and the City Council about the sea otter issue and about the proclamation and so forth. That's her business. But to hand out pamphlets at the Rock telling tourists, now this is almost word for word, and that's right there and up there in the top there, if you want to engage in awareness of city otters, go visit another coastal community. That she goes on to say that we do not need your kind or your businesses in Morro Bay. Isn't that great? Now, it's my opinion that this crosses the line for a person that was elected to the city council and was campaigning to be mayor of Morro Bay, knowing how businesses are struggling in Morro Bay. I am appalled that she would stoop down so low trying to hurt our businesses, environment, and the people that work so hard trying to make a living in such hard times. She needs to apologize to the community for that backhanded community. And I'm sorry to be so negative because I'm generally not that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Who'd like to go next? Good evening, John.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is John Barta. I wanted to follow up on a comment that you made, Mr. Mayor, regarding the workshop for the sign ordinance. Every once in a while, I get called out of town, and I will not be able to be here for the October dates that were mentioned. As you know, your old planning commission many years ago spent several years working on a concept for a sign ordinance, and I believe the majority of you up there have seen that presentation and think it's a valuable presentation that you would like to be shared with the rest of the community. And I am the one who would be doing that, and so I won't be able to be there in October. I apologize for that conflict, but I've known that date for some time now. So if you get to that point, I'd appreciate some consideration with regards to that. Having said that, I would say that it looks like the Pirates have a strong offensive line there, and the quarterback's got some good protection in front of him there. So good luck. Go Pirates.
Thank you. Anyone else? Joe, can you take that down, please? Thanks. Hi, Susan.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. Susan Stewart, I have my chairperson of the Promotions Committee hat on tonight. Just wanted to give you a quick update. We did adopt our budget for the year. Most exciting to me is we have some TV ads coming out next month on KCOY, KKFX, and KION. It'll be a staycation donut spot kind of thing that'll be appearing throughout the month, and we have that scheduled to happen, I think, 5 times this year. We did spread our promotional activities throughout the year. We'll continue in 805 Living, Travel 50 and Beyond, Vintages, which is a Slo and Fresno and Ventura distribution. Some Tribune stuff we're going to look at, Fresno Bee, of course, and Bakersfield Magazine, which is a more upscale Bakersfield publication. We also have broadcast funding, as I said, for the TV, and then TV and radio, which will get over to Kern County. A lot of online media stuff, a Yahoo campaign that'll hit Sacramento, Modesto, Fresno, and Slo. We'll continue with LA Times, SanJoseMercury.com, and Facebook ads. And of course, all of this is going to be balanced with what TBID is doing, but Promotions is trying to focus a lot on the in-county, day drive, staycation, come shop in Morro Bay, because there's, and eat, and whatever people want to do, because there's so much great stuff to do here. Another exciting thing we budgeted for is to replace our Highway 1 billboard. We'll be looking at some creative on that and hopefully using some local photography for that. And it looks like we can get it within or under a $2,000 budget, which is a good thing. What else? CPC is going to be helping to sponsor the Merchants Pavilion at the Harbor Festival. This would be an opportunity for merchants to showcase their business without having to be selling something. So just a little space to say, here I am, here's what I can do, my yellow light is going on. Tourism Workshop, I think, was a really good event. It gave some direction to the advertising agency about defining our product and how we're going to put our community out there. I think they had a pretty good sense of who we are, but I think they got some new ideas through that, so we'll be seeing that in their promotional spots and things that they do. What else? Website subcommittees are working with BCA. There will be some need to tweak the website a bit, make some changes, but we'd really appreciate if people see things that they're concerned about on the website to notify either myself or Joan Solu as the chairs of those two committees, TBID and CPC, so we can get back with BCA and let them know what's going on. And then just a real quickie, visitor center hours are showing heavy traffic, especially on those weekend afternoons, so that appears to be a really good thing. Carla's smiling. So that we'll continue trying to keep that going.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. We'd like to go next. Craig?
Good evening, everyone. Craig Schmidt, Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. In conjunction with the Visitor Center workshops that will be held on September 8th, The Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center is holding an open house on September 7th, the night before, from 5 to 6:30. So come on down and see the facility, meet the staff, and see how we address the visitors to our community with the information that we provide. Also, the Avocado Margarita Festival is in its fifth year this year, September 17th, from 11 to 6. It should be a great event. We're looking for volunteers. We're also looking for local vendors. So if you want to be either one of those, give me a call at Chamber of Commerce, 772-4467. Thanks. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Craig. Anyone else? Hi, Roger. You're not going to say anything? You're in the room. We're going to hear from you, I figure. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Good evening. Roger Ewing, Morro Bay resident. I guess tonight it's beat up on Betty Winholtz night. I wasn't going to speak to this issue, but I'm disappointed that some of our citizens feel that Betty Winholtz doesn't have a right to speak her mind. It is not her that should apologize, Mr. Mayor. I think it is this council, because had you not abandoned a tradition of previous councils of recognizing the sea otter as a valuable asset to the tourism industry of Morro Bay, Betty Winholtz wouldn't have written what she wrote. I knew nothing of this incident until tonight, when two people got up to criticize her for criticizing the council. Tourism is now our only industry, and many, many people, thousands, come to Morro Bay and are thrilled at the sight of seeing otters frolicking in our bay and our estuary. And not to recognize that as a part of our tourist attraction, I think, is a mistake. It was a mistake when you did it. I was surprised watching the meeting to learn that you think nothing of the otter. The otter was here long before we were, and the otter has a right to be here, and the otter is what people come to see. So why ignore it? Why take it upon yourself to belittle something that is so unique? So I stand up in defense of Betty Winholtz. I applaud her for bringing it to the attention of people. You need to recognize the city has to have a vision. And without a vision, you're going to end up doing things like this, which have dire consequences. Morro Bay wasn't the only place that this lack of recognition was known. The New Times wrote about it. The Trib wrote about it. Emails all over the country. This is not the attitude that Morro Bay should have when we're struggling to keep our tourism industry afloat. So please, before you jump off the handle, react emotionally, think of the consequences. Thank you for listening and have a good meeting.
Always a pleasure to see you, Roger.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Anybody? Going once. Going twice. Back to council. Thanks to James Bueno and his players, Jake, Jonathan, Nick, and Brian. For coming tonight and speaking to us. It was great to see them. Thank you, Becca and Scott from the Harbor Department, Red, Annie, Tom Martin, and his great jacket, Betty, John Solo, and Gary, and John Barta, and Susan Craig, and finally Roger. I will respond a little to this otter business. We celebrate all wildlife in Morro Bay, and what we're doing tonight is we are celebrating all wildlife tonight. And, you know, a lot of the feedback I got when the otter thing came along was, why don't we have peregrine falcon awareness week, and why don't we have red-banded snail, red-legged frog, and sea lions? Why don't we celebrate all these? So we are celebrating them tonight. with Wildlife Awareness Week. We are going to celebrate all wildlife. a quote from George Orwell's Animal Farm popped into my head a few days ago. And amazingly, from eighth grade, then I looked it up, I still had it in my head. All animals are created equal, but some are more equal than others. And that's what I'm hearing tonight. The otters are more important than all the other animals. And I'm sorry, you know, I don't buy into that. This council majority didn't buy into that. And we're fixing it tonight to recognize everybody. You know, I'm sorry, Betty, that you were personally attacked on this. I think your brochure should get attacked. I'm not in favor of personalizing it as it was done. But just as Roger pointed out, you have a right to distribute that. They have a right to say what's on their mind, as Roger did. So I support everybody, you know. First Amendment rules. I don't know that there's anything else to say in that. You know, again, 40% of our income comes from tourists and from visitors. So you've heard me say this before. Your loved one has a heart attack. You call the fire department. The paramedics walk through your door. The police department's there. There's a fire truck outside. 40% of the cost of those people, that equipment outside, is being paid for by the visitors. So I would submit that it is counterproductive to ask our visitors to go somewhere else. That's just a personal opinion because everybody knows I'm very pro tourism here. So that's just my opinion on this. We're going to, I assume, that the council majority will pass the Wildlife Awareness Week for the last week in September tonight, and we will celebrate all wildlife here. And that's everything I know as far as the background on that. Noah? George? Nancy?
You did it right.
Carla? Okay, let's go to the consent calendar. And I'm going to pull item A2, and on behalf of Noah, pull item A5. Any others to pull on this side? And on this side.
A4 as well, please.
So can I hear a motion, please, approving items A1 and A3?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. I need to pass these out. This is for item A2 now. No, you keep both? Or, and both for Carla. Two for you and two for Noah. And I'm going to turn it over to Susan. Everybody has your printed material now, Susan.
Thank you very much, Mary Yates and council members. This is for the travel policy, and the items that you've just been handed out are some last-minute corrections that we found. I found a typo on page 2 where I said that you needed to go to the irs.gov website and search for mileage 2010. I would not want anybody in 2015 to search for mileage 2010. So I should have put in there 2000 with two X's after that, and that's just a small typo that I would like to correct. The other thing that I found, and this was based on a travel request that is coming in that will fit under this policy, and that's that I didn't define what to do on the days that you're traveling to your destination or from your destination regarding meals. So if someone is going to a travel destination and the per diem for that particular destination is $60, that doesn't mean that the person on his travel day to the destination gets $60 and from it gets $60. But I didn't identify that and break it down. So that is page 3. And I've listed an item number 7 that I wanted to include that breaks the travel to the destination and from the destination for meals only to 20% for breakfast, 30% for lunch, and 50% for dinner. And those percentages would be applied to the per diem for the destination that they are going to. And that concludes my...
Thanks, Susan. Any questions for Susan on this? Is it clear? Over here? We good? Then could I hear a motion, please, approving item A2 as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. A4, Noah.
Yes, I was pulling A4 to, for the record, vote against it for the reasons of my concerns about the length and broadness of the moratorium.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Could I hear a motion, please, approving item A4?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1. Mr. Smuckler dissenting. A5, Noah.
Yes, A5 is the Wildlife Awareness Week proclamation, and you have in front of you a sheet with a suggested additional passage there. It's following the second whereas, I propose that we add whereas our actions, well, let me just, should we read it?
No. You can. You can read your
I think
addition
we, yeah,
if you want.
It does a pretty good job. If someone wants to read it, they can go onto the website, but my addition would add, whereas our actions and lifestyle choices have positive and negative effects on ecosystems and wildlife. It seems like that would be an important component to an overall awareness week.
If it's important to you, Noah, I'm going to get behind it. You have a problem with that? You guys have a problem
right,
with that?
Let's keep this up.
Okay. Can I hear a motion approving item A5 as amended by Mr. Smuckler? You say it.
So I move we approve proclamation as Wildlife Awareness Week for September 25th through October 1st.
As amended.
As amended.
I'll second.
George seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Let's take a break and we'll come back with the public hearing. I guess you're going to have to see this. That's for damn sure. You were here before the rock even grew, weren't you? So you'll have to say this is about Gapco. I have to step down right off the bat here, okay? You have to say why. Say conflict of interest. Okay, we're back. Item B1. Before we begin. Yeah. You have to go now, George.
Okay, I got to step down because of the conflict of interest here.
Okay, you're okay or not? Okay, cool. Well, he did an abbreviated version. B1, Mr. Livick.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. This is an appeal of the Planning Commission's decision for a temporary use permit to allow use of an existing dock for sports commercial fishing for a period of 6 months. Applicant is GAFCO and Verges. Little background, Verges is a fishing company, everybody knows, passenger for hire, near-shore sport fishing. The boats are also used for whale watching tours and pleasure cruises. It's been on the Embarcadero for about 57 years, and a few months ago they had to vacate their location at 1215 Embarcadero and moved up to their current location up on Market Street. The applicant had applied for an administrative temporary use permit for Verges to locate to their operation at the GAFCO lease site. The project was noticed, and there were the Public Services Department received letters from neighboring property owners expressing concern regarding parking. Project was then noticed and elevated to Planning Commission decision for this temporary use permit. The subject is in the Measure D area, but the use of sport fishing has been an ongoing use there, and there is no expansion or enlargement of sport fishing. It is located in the H zoning on the water side and the commercial fishing on the land side. The applicant utilized traffic and parking studies that were prepared by Oro's Engineering for the GAFCO Verges Harbor Hut Revitalization Project. And in the general vicinity, there's about 325 off-street parking stalls, 46 on-street parking spaces, with about 100 overflow spaces in the lot on the east side of the Embarcadero. Some of these parking spaces have time restrictions. They're on the west side of the Embarcadero. They're generally limited to four-hour parking. There's about three 15-minute spaces near the dockside restaurant and four 20-minute spaces near the intersection of Embarcadero and Beach Street. The lease sites themselves provide no parking on site. On June 15th, the temporary use permit was heard by the Planning Commission at a public hearing. At this meeting, the Planning Commission made a decision to approve the temporary use permit, including the findings that are attached, and with conditions, and they were modified by the Planning Commission, and they're stated in the staff report, those modifications to the conditions. On June 23rd, the City of Morro Bay received an appeal on the permit. The appeal was filed by Mr. Leonard Wilhite, located at 1124 Front Street, a neighboring business. He stated the basis of the appeal was based on misinformation and commissioner tampering. Mr. Wilhite's appeal made this declaration but did not provide any documentation to substantiate the claim. And without any documentation supporting the claim, staff is of the opinion this claim has no merit and recommend I'm upholding the Planning Commission's decision and denying the appeal. That includes my summary of the staff report. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Questions for Rob before we get started? Okay, Leonard and I have talked. We've agreed to 10 minutes. Bridget and Virgis will have 10 minutes to respond, then we'll hear from the public, and then it'll come back to council. Leonard, you may step right up, and you have 10 minutes, and we welcome you and looking forward to hearing your opinion.
Okay, Council.
And Leonard, if you could pull the mic right down to your mouth, it would be great.
Honorable Council and city employees, I'm not here to knock Burgess at all. As far as I'm concerned, they can have their permit. I didn't have an objection to begin with. I have objections to what took place over their application for a permit. One of the things was that property right there, it's shown on the screen, is where their boat is being loaded at. And if you notice, that parking lot's empty. Now, that's Labor Day weekend. Wait a minute. What was the one just went by? Labor Day. Labor Day weekend. And that parking lot's empty. That's the Front Street parking lot across the street. That's the lot that takes care of the other businesses on the other side. And where they come up with this overflow lot is beyond me. That's one of the main parking lots in the whole city for motorhomes, trailers, tour buses, everything. Now, we're already going to lose a quarter of that lot or more to some silly marine museum that could have very easily been put somewhere else. And I never did see a permit application for that. Didn't anybody could even protest it. And yet it's gone through the whole system already and approved. But that's a different issue. That's what our parking lot looked like. The picture before, that's what it looked like at the same time, irregardless of the pictures that Ms. Novak presented at the Planning Commission. And they didn't bother to even want to see my pictures. And I offered. This is more of it. That's after the boats were all totally loaded up. If you notice the cars right there on the curb, they're in the other pictures. So I didn't make these up and put them together. They're the same vehicles in the same locations. In fact, here's another picture of it right here, just prior to filling up on the street also. There are lots still empty. Those two vehicles are commercial fishermen's vehicles. Labor Day weekend. My business lost a tremendous amount of money that day. 90% of our business comes from that overflow lot. Overflow from who? Who told these people they can't use that parking lot? The owner of that building and the guy that wants the application. Not Burgess. Burgess is a victim here also. Yeah, we'll take your money, but we don't want your debris. I'm sparing Mr. League what I really wanted to say tonight, because I was asked not to do it today in a very honorable way. And I'm going to honor that request. I'll spare him the embarrassment, because he knows what he's done. He knows how he tried to cover it up. But I'll let all that ride. All I ask is that the city council talk to that planning commission and tell them to do the job they were appointed to do. We had two commissioners come down to speak to us, the opposition. During that brief meeting, we were interrupted by the applicant, who took the commissioners out, told him he had it under control. And that was the end of that. Another commissioner showed up on the last day. A gentleman at the other end of the waterfront told this man, you go down, you need to go talk to Mr. Wilhite. He came to see me. A couple of minutes, that was it. Two other commissioners didn't even bother to talk to any of us. And the ones that did, didn't talk to three or four of the other business owners. Didn't say a single word to them. Came back, listened to what Ms. Novak had to say. Unanimously passed it. No consideration for the other businesses whatsoever, based on what the other person was saying. I feel that's wrong. That's not fair to the other business who we pay. And I think my $250 I had to pay to speak to you people tonight is illegal and wrong too. And I'm not quite sure what the lady said about something about you shouldn't be able to appeal a decision to the Planning Commission. If I understood right, was that correct?
No, Ms. Winholtz was objecting to raising the cost.
Well, I object to the cost, period. Why should a person have to defend their rights when these people are already being paid for what they're doing? All they had to do is walk up with the file, pull the file out. Now, I don't tell too many people this, but I'm a disabled veteran. I have $995 a month income, and I had to cough up $250. Now, think of it legally, I don't even have to legally pay that. Now, I was told tonight if I win, I get my money back. Well, I can't win because I give them permission to do it. So I lose either way. And I don't think that's right, and I don't think it's fair. All I'm asking is this commission or the council to dismiss what the commission had to say. Go ahead and issue their permit. But I went to the Burgess and I talked. We came to a conclusion. Park on the street and park down from the entrance to Gaffco all the way down toward Verge's old location, which is along the curb there. More than enough parking to take care of the whole situation. They've been gracious enough to do that, and we've got along fine. My business is back up, even though summer's over. I mean, it's gone now, but we all know that. My business went right back up, and I lost a lot of money in May when all this little junk was going on, a tremendous amount of money. Because of the intrusion by what took place at that location. And I'd like the council to cancel their decision. Go ahead and give them their permit. But with the conditions, to go ahead with what Burgess and I have discussed and we've agreed to and has been working. And I won't have any other complaints or anything. All I ask is a fair shot for our businesses to have business and that the Planning Commission be spoken to and told what their job is to do. Not walk around and go, I'm a commissioner. Do your job. Because they get up there and then they make a decision on everybody around them that's going to hurt someone. and have no concern about it at all. They don't even investigate it. They didn't investigate anything with us. I'm sorry, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, Leonard. Verges. Good evening, Kathy.
Yes. Good evening, Mayor Yates and council members. My name is Kathy Novak, and I'm here representing the applicant for the 1185 Embarcadero Road project tonight. First, I'd like to thank staff for their time and efforts on this project and recommendation for denial of the appeal. As staff just mentioned, so a few months ago, Verges unfortunately had to move their operations after 57 years in the same location. Since Morro Bay has a limited number of docks that can accommodate passengers and not interfere with the core of the Embarcadero, Verges sought out a site that they felt would be least impactful and teamed up with GAFCO. The written appeal on the Planning Commission's approval for Verges to use the GAFCO site was filed by the local businessman without specific details. Absent specific written comments provided with the appeal, it makes it difficult for me to prepare answers to questions and or concerns in advance of this meeting. So for my presentation tonight, what I would like to do is address two of the major concerns that were previously raised. And actually, he did cover some of those. The parking is one of those as well. The first concern was in regards to whether this temporary use is subject to the Measure D and or if the temporary use is a continuation of a historic use and therefore allowed under Measure D. Morro Bay has historically been home to many sport fishing boats, including the area at GAFCO. The photo attached in your report was from the 1950s, and you can see several sport fishing shops along the area of this area of the Embarcadero. There has never been any intention to abandon the sport fishing use at GAFCO, but over the years, commercial fishing boats have been given priority for the dock space. The docks have been open and available for both commercial and sport fishing opportunities. Since GAFCO has had traditional uses with both commercial fishing and sport fishing operations, the Planning Commission determined that this proposed use is consistent with Measure D. The second concern was in regards to the parking, and I have 4 points to cover on this subject. First, the Planning Commission determined that this is a historic use, and therefore there is no intensification of the use and no new parking is required because it has already been previously provided at its highest use. Secondly, as far as the previous parking arrangements in contrast with today, there really shouldn't be any significant changes. It appears that the fisher folk and the visitors who previously parked in the Front Street lot have merely traded places. The reason I say that is because of the limited number of all-day section on the west side of the parking lot, the additional fisher folk back then would normally park on the street or in the Front Street parking lot. Now that the west side is clear, the visitors are using this area on a regular basis, and the fisher folk are going over to the Front Street parking lot and also on the street. Thirdly, Verges has made a concerted effort now and in the past to control parking by the fisher folk. At the old tackle shop, Verges would do a parking lot patrol before the boats left to make sure that people were not taking two parking spaces or parking in the four-hour section. Today, Verges sends a person down to the parking lot to make sure that the folks don't park in the lot in front of GAFCO and also to direct them to the north end of the Front Street parking lot, the street, and keep them away from the businesses on the south Front Street area. Fourthly, there is a letter in your staff report that has broken down the number of passengers over the past year. The highest months, of course, are June through September. While we're looking at these numbers, I would like you to keep in mind that Verges was operating 4 boats most of this time. Since their recent move, Verges has decided to remove one of the boats from the sport fishing fleet. That boat is dedicated to commercial fishing and does not have a current certificate from the Coast Guard to carry passengers. So the maximum number of passengers for the 3 boats now would be 164 versus the 218 in the past with the 4 boats. Furthermore, the fishing season has severe limitations with salmon fishing beginning in May and rock cod season open from June to December, while whale watching occurs from December to March. While any additional use of the parking lot may appear to be an impact on the businesses at the southern end, I would like to propose a possible solution to keep those spaces free from the all-day use. That would be to mark the south end spaces as 4 hours. This should give their customers access to the closest places to their business. I also realize that the motel has overnight guests, and I would think that some creative and possible use of cones or something in that order would answer the concerns from the motel for their overnight guests. In conclusion, we feel that maintaining a sport fishing fleet is an integral part of Morro Bay's identity since we are a working harbor. People come to enjoy the boats, and some go fishing. To that end, Verges works in concert with many businesses in town by putting together promotional packages and bringing visitors to town. All in all, Verges is trying to be a good neighbor, as they have done for over 5 decades. That concludes my presentation. I would ask for the council support to deny the appeal and approve the temporary use permit. And thank you for your time and consideration. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Kathy. Before I open it up, are there any questions for either Leonard or Kathy? Noah? Okay, this is a public hearing. If any of you would like to address us on this item, please step right up. Hello again.
My name is Betty Winholtz. I think that there are 3 issues when I read this staff report that I thought were important, and I want to say I'm real pleased that the business people have taken it into their own hands and solved their problem and have come with a recommendation that they have solved to bring to you. And it seems to me, for that kind of honorable behavior, that regardless of how you deal with the permit, as he said, we've come to a resolution, that they've solved the problem on their own. I think giving back the money would be a fair thing to do as well. But the main issue here, I think, are 3, and I'm sorry that Mr. Lori isn't here, because though there may not have been any information in the staff report itself, Mr. Lori, or on the appeal itself, Mr. Lori raised some legal issues, which I think should be of grave concern and need to be addressed about permitting. I think the second issue has to do with equity, how you're treating one business on the Embarcadero compared to other businesses. And the third one is the parking, which is the subject of all the concern. And I would encourage you to honor what the business people have worked out for themselves.
Thank you, Betty. Anyone else? So nice to have you back with us, Roger.
Thank you. Excuse me. Good to be back. Thank you. Roger Ewing, Morro Bay resident. And I, too, stand here in support of the appeal. Although, having listened to the applicant, it may be moot. And I applaud him and Verges for, on their own, coming together to with an agreement for mutual benefit. And so on that basis, I, too, would encourage you to return the appeal fee to the applicant. I read the staff report, or I should say I scanned it. I did read Tom Lori's letter, and this is a very convoluted issue, to say the least, and there are many people involved, and so I don't want to go there. And so with all due respect, my concern is fairness. And I don't believe this started out under the guise of fairness. It may end up there, and I'm very pleased, and I applaud, and I hope it does. But if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Mayor, you and Mr. League attended that Planning Commission meeting. Having you both in the front row on a subject that matters of great importance to you both could be intimidating, especially to Planning Commission members who are new to the process. Having said that, I wish to remind you that you, Mr. League, and Ms. Johnson, during your campaign, promised to represent all the people, not just one business on the Embarcadero, but all of the people. So that when you make decisions involving businesses, you look at the consequences and then adjudicate fairly. And I don't believe that happened in this case. So I am very hopeful that by the time all discussion is over, you do come to a very satisfactory conclusion. And again, let me reiterate, please refund the applicant his appeal. And I thank you for listening. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, Roger. Anyone else? Anybody? I will bring it back to council. I guess I'm going to respond to Roger's comment about being at the meeting. I go to lots of meetings. I doubt that I intimidate any commissioner on any board, to be honest with you. We were in the back row, not the front row. Noah?
Questions?
Whatever you want. You can call them up. You can make statements, whatever you like.
All right. Well, I did talk to a city attorney today regarding the letter from Mr. Laurie, and felt like there were some points there that should be responded to because they've been brought out to the public, and he had some good responses for those, I felt, and I thought it might be beneficial for us to hear those tonight if you're willing to go over those.
Well, I don't know. Is it, to me, this should be kept focused on the appeal, and this is outside of the appeal. I guess I'm looking at Rob. If you're okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it would take me less than 10 or 15 seconds to deal with the issues.
Yeah.
Mr. Laurie first brings up that a CDP is required. That may be so where this project is located. It is an original jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission, so if a CDP, a coastal development permit, is required, then that'll be up to the Coastal Commission and not city, because it's not within our jurisdiction to make that determination. And that's why a coastal development permit isn't in front of you. In regards to the issue of there's no sublease yet, a sublease will be coming back to you. We don't do the sublease until we're sure that they have the correct permits before we would issue that sublease. But a sublease will come back to you if this has been done, and I believe one's already been presented to the harbor for that approval. That sublease and any other issues would deal with percentage rent, so that can still come back with that lease. We're always trying to make everybody fair and equitable on all levels. It's not always easy on the Embarcadero because we have some leases that are called the old Pipkin leases, where people pay way under market, as to those that are under our new master lease. But we're always trying to make everybody as fair as equitable, and when leases come in front of us, they all have to comply with the master lease. So I think that addresses his issues. The non-competition part of it that he says is in violation doesn't apply to this situation. That's a completely different situation. And as far as all his other comments regarding the business dispute between the applicant and family is something that we do not want to get involved with and will not get involved with.
Respectfully, I don't see any of that as relevant to this appeal, but if he's addressing what you need, then
yeah,
good.
I wanted to make sure that that was addressed publicly, because it obviously was raised publicly as part of this appeal, and then also tonight again in comments. My next question is in regards to the appeal cost. I know it's kind of ancillary to this discussion, but do we necessarily need to deny or approve the appeal to refund those costs, or is that something that is our choice? If we do want to refund, would we need to then just administratively deny the appeal or approve the appeal?
No, I think we would have the power to refund it if we choose, correct? Yeah.
Okay, so that's up to us, which I'm in favor of, given the circumstances and given the legwork that's been done to start to define a solution, which is exciting. My next question has to do with process, and we have the Planning Commission's conditions here, which refer to a parking meeting, which sounds like we've had some breakthroughs between the different parties down there, which is good. My question would be, how would staff see going forward to make sure that agreement is then respected by both parties and then also implemented?
The issue of the parking meeting was deferred due to this appeal. We didn't want to kind of muddy the waters with having a meeting before council heard this appeal. So that is still on our work plan to do. And it won't just involve these two businesses. It should involve all the businesses down there at that end of the Embarcadero to have a full discussion regarding parking.
Okay, and I guess I find myself wondering, I'm not sure I necessarily feel like we need to be in the middle of the details of that agreement, but I would hope that the responsibilities of that agreement, if there involves marking of spaces temporarily during the parking hours when the boats are loading and so on, that some of that burden does fall upon the leaseholder and not on the Front Street businesses. You know, it would be helpful to have a collaboration there to make sure that everyone takes responsibility for their impacts. And the question that I do have is in regards to the enumeration of those spaces. There's a letter that suggests there's approximately 62 spaces in loose spaces that are credited to the Front Street businesses. Is that generally close to the range that we'd consider to be theirs and paid for by them?
The parking spaces are all available to the public. They're not assigned to specific businesses. The parking in lieu was paid to the city in general for the parking, not to buy parking spaces. So there is no apportionment of spaces based on parking in lieu.
But my question is, how then in the agreement that we're discussing, how do we actually make sure that those spaces are recognized? You know, if part of the agreement is we're going to actually mark some spaces as 4 hours, I don't know the details of this agreement yet, but is it possible for us to do that fairly and make sure that all parties are satisfied with that?
I don't know that we'll get 100% satisfaction, but what we're looking for is consensus out there, and so that everybody, like we've stated a couple of times, everybody is treated fairly. For example, right now there's no overnight parking down there, yet we have a couple of motels down there. That kind of an idea for that would maybe to have parking passes for the motels so they could have their clients park overnight. Limiting the four-hour parking spaces closer to the businesses seems to make sense, and then having the outlying areas more for longer-term parking. Something like that would make sense. But parking still is a first-come, first-served basis, and on our busiest days, we may have some parking limitations out there. It's something that I think we hope for, is that we have crowded parking lots.
Yeah, but I think tonight we see an example with the pictures we were shown of a scenario where it's displaced and not proportional, and the west side is negatively influencing the east side potentially in that scenario, the Labor Day scenario that we want to try to address with the agreement. And I guess I would wonder how would we decide whether that agreement is successful.
Well, I'm not sure that it's an agreement. I think it's more of there's some decision on to how to mark the parking spaces, and then they're marked so that there doesn't have to be this monitoring of spaces out there. That's going to be cumbersome for everybody involved. You know, we're already probably going to put some onus on the police department by having time spaces out there, because they're going to be the ones that are going to have to be enforcing those regulations. So I think it's best probably to make it as simple as possible without having to get people involved in putting cones out there to block off spaces and you know, not relying on human intervention as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. And
I don't have the magic answer right now.
Oh, obviously, I don't think any of us do. Sounds like some of the business owners have a good idea about what will work. So I just hope that their input is respected, and if there were concerns coming out of those meetings that they weren't, then I would expect that this would be brought back to us, or we would be alerted about this so we can make sure that we can resolve this issue and all the businesses can go about their daily business.
Of course.
So those are my comments for now.
Cool. Well, it seems to me like it's worked out. I think the way it was handled initially has been acknowledged was mishandled. You know, what can you say? But it was changed when the objections were raised. It's changed. You've got an agreement with your neighbor there. It's working out. Sharon's been here forever. Leonard's been here forever. I mean, we're all neighbors here. Talking about cones and marking, and you know, it's just like, why go there? That's my opinion. As I think everybody knows, Rob's been working with Dynergy to get that next lot open up. That's going to take that's a huge area. And if we're successful, and it does seem like we're marching towards the word successful, you know, the parking problem's really, really go away, but I hope that even that's filled one day and then the lot in question tonight. As far as the appeal fee goes, I could be talked into this depending on council. What I hear coming down the pike here, I'm basically against returning appeal fees because I don't want to set a precedent. This does seem like a unique case to me, and I could probably go with you on this one, but we'll see what we hear down here. Nancy.
Okay. First, it hasn't been Labor Day yet, so let's clarify that. I'm not sure what holiday we were talking about, but according to my calendar, Labor Day comes next week. The other thing I think we're doing is micromanaging something that we probably shouldn't even be wasting our time on. We have a business that's been on the Embarcadero, 30-plus years? They have boats. They put people on the boats. They take them fishing. They've been doing the same thing. They even have one less boat than they used to have. They've always had parking places down there. If, in fact, some of the newer businesses on the other side on Front Street need some accommodation for their parking, we have a perfectly capable public works department that can figure that out. It sounds to me like the businesses involved have worked this out. I don't think we need to micromanage this thing. I think we need to say, get on with it. Let's get this thing going. We have timed parking places further down on the Embarcadero. I don't see where that's a big deal. I mean, all the way down the Embarcadero, it's three-hour parking. Whether or not it's enforced is another issue. But to spend all this time on a business that's been there for years, that has not changed, has not added anything to their business, has always had the same circumstances, seems pretty ridiculous to me. And I don't know that I want to give him his $250 back because he wasted my time.
Well, I'm not going to reiterate what's been said. I appreciate that Sharon and Leonard have worked out an agreement. I do agree with Councilmember Smuckler that there does need to be some shared responsibility for the impact of the parking and that it needs to be as evenly balanced as possible. I think that the planning department, when they can move forward with that meeting and get that resolved, and it's a good idea with the passes, I like that. Because I was trying to think, how do you put just hotel parking or something? So that I would see that as certainly a way to resolve that. I do agree that you can put all the 20-minute, 2-hour, 4-hour parking you want, but it's not enforced very often. So it gets to a point where most of the locals know it's not going to be enforced, so they just park there anyway. I would say to Leonard, if you don't want to appeal a project and pay the appeal fee, you could have done this at public comment in the 3 minutes you had, the same as public comment at the Planning Commission meeting, and you could have, the things you expressed wouldn't have cost anything to file this appeal. The reason there's a fee is to encourage people to think long and hard before they make that appeal. Instead of working it out, you could have withdrawn the appeal if you already worked this out with Sharon. Public comment, 3 minutes. Planning Commission, 3 minutes here. There's no fees for that. The City Council and Planning Commission does have a joint meeting scheduled. I'm sure some of the things we'll discuss is, you know, parking projects, things like this. You're more than welcome to come to public comment at that and have your say. I'm not opposed to giving him refunding the fee. I am also apprehensive to set any precedent of doing it because I'm totally opposed to that happening. And I wish this would have been withdrawn. If you worked it out, you could have withdrawn the appeal, and that's what you should have done. And then it would have been a lot easier for, I think, council to look at refunding the fee. So.
Do you have anything else?
Nothing more to say.
Anything else over here? Then I'm going to say, where are you on the fee? Just so I can, I can make a motion here and just not mention the fee, and then that's that.
I can go either way. I It didn't take a lot. It took staff time. It didn't take a lot of staff time because there was nothing in the appeal. But I agree with you that it sets a precedent, and I would hope in the future when somebody works out their problems, they will withdraw the appeal so we wouldn't have to take this half hour of our time.
The only reason I'm considering an exception is because it's a non-appeal appeal, it seems to me. I mean, you don't have an issue. And as you said, so, I mean, just based on that, I'm willing to, I think we've got the three votes to do it, and so I will just move that we deny this appeal and refund Mr. Leonard's $250.
Second.
Discussion.
Well, I'm sorry that the two motions are combined.
I'm sorry.
No, he can have his money back. Just all pretty ridiculous.
I shouldn't have done that to you.
But I will vote to deny the appeal, and I will also let him have his money back.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries 4-0. I'm sorry, Leonard. Bet you get your money back. And we wish you well. And I'll see you down there. B2, Janine.
Thank you and good evening. Tonight you have before you Resolution 61-11.
Sorry, Janine. We need George back.
Oh.
There we go. Forgive me. Forgot about old George. Ooh, thanks. Please.
Okay. Tonight you have before you Resolution 61-11 approving Morro Bay Garbage Service base year rate adjustment application requesting an increase to the solid waste collection rates. In the current franchise agreement with the garbage company, there's a provision in there that outlines and uses the guidelines of San Luis Obispo's rate setting methodology manual for setting the rates for garbage collection, as well as for guidelines and a framework for increases to those initial rates throughout the term of the contract. On June 21st of this year, the city received from Morro Bay Garbage Service a base year rate adjustment application with a request for an increase to the solid waste rates, and this is in your attachment one of the staff report. Based on the calculations in the rate setting manual, the increase that would have originally been requested would be 8.68%. However, in the letter that you have in attachment one from Morro Bay Garbage Service, they felt that this might, given the economic climate, be not palatable to have the full increase occur at one time. And so what Morro Bay Garbage Service has done is propose alternate to the 8.68% and would propose a series of increases over the next 3 years that would fully capture that 8.68%. And so what Morro Bay Garbage Service is requesting is for the current year, effective October 1st, to have a rate increase of 4.68%. For 2011, and then for the two interim years in 2012 and 2013, which would be an interim year request based on the change in CPI between the prior year and the next year, to add 2% to each of those years to whatever that COLA adjustment would be. The rate increase, the last one that we had for the city was in 2008. In 2009, there was no interim year request, because the CPI was minus 0.1%. And in 2010, the garbage company chose not to submit an interim year request because they felt that the financial performance and outlook was looking pretty good and didn't warrant a rate increase request at that time. However, during 2010, there was a number of things that occurred that made the financial statements not as stable as they were projecting to be. Including the recession, which had an impact to the revenues as you had businesses and residential customers modifying the levels of service, which affected the revenue that was received. as well as a rate increase to the landfill that was not contemplated, and the unexpected closure of the composting facility, which necessitated a change in how the garbage company was processing the green waste once it was collected, that resulted in higher operating costs for that particular material. The Administrative Services Director has reviewed the rate adjustment application, including the financial statements that were contained therein, and has found them to be fair and materially correct. So with that, and in conformance with the rate setting manual, staff is recommending that the City Council adopt Resolution 61-11, approving the application and resulting rate increase therein in Exhibit A. With that, I'd like to turn it over to the council for any questions or comments and opening it up to public comment.
Thank you, Janine. Noah? George? Nancy? Carla? I love Morro Bay Garbage, Tom, but I'm going to, since nobody's speaking here, I can't invite you up because it's not a public hearing unless somebody has a question. So it is a public hearing. Well, it is a public hearing, and I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I just said. Step right up, Tom. I apologize. I goof every meeting, Tom.
I don't have anything to say, but I'm here to answer questions.
Okay. Any questions for Tom? Go ahead. Let's see if anybody else wants to speak. And we can come back. We can always call Tom up. He's right here. You good with that? Anybody else like to speak on this item? Good evening again, Betty.
Betty Winholtz. I have two comments that I would like to make about the garbage increase. The first one is that there is no incentive to save, and we've talked about this before in past councils, that it's prorated per whatever unit it is. And rather than say you pay, and I'm going to make up a number, $10 for the first can, the second can is equally $20 when maybe it should be $25. There's nothing that encourages people to reduce their waste. And I would like to see that included in how you structure the rates. My second point would be about education. I don't think there's been a lot of education, and I'd like to see what kind of component can be, or if there is, Ms. Burlingame or Tom needs to speak to that if he would, about how is it that we're educating the new people that continue to come into our community.
Thank you, Betty. Anyone else? Anyone? Then I'll bring it back to council. Now I'll start down here again.
Well, my comment and question was, I had a conversation with Ms. Burlingame earlier today asking some questions, starting based on a letter we received from the Blue Heron Terrace regarding their billing and the style of billing, and then leading into just general questions about our contract. And from what I understand from Ms. Burlingame, we're very limited into as to what we could do to adjust that contract because it extends through 2022, as far as I understand. So I guess I'd like to hear from our staff or Mr. Martin himself what sort of options we would have if we wanted to try to make any adjustments to this contract. It doesn't sound to me like we have really any options there that are viable, but that's a question that I have.
Let's start with you.
The letter that Mr. Smuckler is referring to, the individual was talking about how the...
I'm sorry. Let's yeah. The Blue Heron is a... Yeah. I can think of a couple puns, but I won't. That's a separate issue, and it's being addressed, and it's not part of the rate increase. So if you would just address the second part of this, that would be great. What can we do?
In terms of the current agreement, there is no specific provision for making changes to the terms of the agreement during the contract period if there was mutual agreement by both parties. The only time that's mentioned is if there is an extension to the agreement, in which case the terms and conditions would be the existing unless both parties agreed to a change.
I'll dig a little deeper here for you, Noah, if I may. What would happen if all five of us said no rate increase? Can we even do that?
The council does have the choice to do that. What would happen is that no rate increase would occur. The operating expenses for Morro Bay Garbage Service would continue to be out of balance with the revenue, and next year they would apply for another rate increase, and the percentage would be even higher.
Did you get your question answered?
I did.
Go ahead and follow up if you didn't. Or if you're, Tom, well, do you want to address it?
Yeah, I would like to hear Mr. Martin's.
I've been around here, Tom Martin, Morro Bay Garbage. I've been around for 23 years, and we'll entertain any change to the contract you want at any point in time. If you want to change the rate structure, we'll change the rate structure. If you want to change a provision in the agreement, we'll look at changing a provision in the agreement. Bring it up what you want to talk about, and we're more than happy to discuss it. I don't think it's exclusionary. We're willing to look at anything.
You have always been great to work with, and the community is grateful for the fabulous service you provide. Anything else, Noah?
Well, I think if we get into anything besides what's specifically in front of us tonight, that would probably be going too far. The conversation about how to create better incentives for people to reduce their volume and so on is a different conversation than what I think we can have tonight. I just don't know. I think tonight we can address this, and it sounds like in good faith we can certainly talk about other ideas that may come up outside of this. So I don't have any further questions specifically right now.
George? Nancy?
I just want to clarify that the rate increase is for solid waste collection only, right? Not for recycled or green waste?
That's correct. The amount of bill you pay is based on the size garbage can you have.
Right.
So it only affects your garbage rate. There is no cost associated with recycling and green waste. It's all borne by whatever the garbage rate is.
Okay. So an incentive would be to have a smaller garbage can and a larger recycling or green waste to be used for those purposes,
That's
right?
correct. The ideal situation is to have the smallest garbage can and the 96 blue and the 96 green. That's the best of all worlds. That's
and
where
you're
we
not
want
raising
you
the cost of those two.
Nope. Get the biggest blue and green you can without any cost.
Thank you.
Carla?
And that's exactly what I have.
Me too.
And so just for clarification on the rate increases then, I'm reading this as 40 cents a month on the smallest. Is that correct? I guess, Janine, or you have that in front of you. And then $1.92 a month increase for the three can. Is that
for the mini can? It's, oh, that's the cost per gallon. Sorry.
So we're talking about, it's on page, the second page?
Second page of my letter.
On right. The letter? Back there, I just want to make sure I understand it.
For the mini can, which is the 20-gallon, mm-hmm. It would be a 40% monthly increase for the residential. The one can would be 64% increase. I'm sorry, 64-cent increase. The two can, $1.28, and the three can, $1.92.
Okay, so that's 40 cents more a month. And I know that that Tom, you had said, Mr. Martin, you had said that there's no additional fee for the recycling and green waste, but I do know from being the city rep on integrated waste management that there is an increased fee that is being borne by the company because of having to transport the green waste out of the county now. And so I'm sure that all factors in. You know, they no longer can do it at Cold Canyon Landfill, and it's having to be trucked to Santa Maria, so that all costs more money. And I understand that's part of the reason that you would have an increase factored into the whole package.
So. Start back down this then.
That's a really good point, Ms. Borcher, and I guess I'd like to give Mr. Martin the opportunity, if you have an idea about the potential resolution of that problem with the green waste and composting operation at Cold Canyon, do we have an end to that at any point in the future? Do you see that coming back to us and being able to handle that material here?
I'm going to submit that this is an item on rate increases, and you're going off track.
Okay, I think it's directly related to those
Go
rate
ahead.
Increases.
I have so made my statement.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
The quick answer is that we are pursuing an anaerobic digestion system. We've been involved with the IWMA. Bill has taken a trip to Europe to look at it. The landfill engineer from Waste Connections has taken a trip to Europe with Bill to look at various facilities, and we're moving in the direction of building a building and doing it inside of a building so we can do it at Cold Canyon. However, that requires a permit from the County of San Luis Obispo Planning Department. So we're talking 2.5 or 3 years from now before that could possibly happen if we started tonight.
I received many questions about that in the community, so that helps.
George? Nancy? Now you have, let me know where you guys are on that. Go ahead. Make good.
I'll move approval of B2.
Second.
Well, I'm going to get drug along with this. I mean, I'm not going to make some statement for 40 cents a month and have you come back next year, but I think I'm going to lose anyway, so I'm going to just, go along with this, I think. I mean, meant what I just said about my feelings, and I think the community's feelings about your company. I wish all of our outside contractors did such a fabulous job for the community as you do. I'm going to go off subject here after scolding Noah for being off subject and say I think that you do a great job in educating us and the town, and we all have a, there will always be people who don't think you do enough, but I think you do a great job with that. So that said, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. There you go, Tom. Thanks for being here tonight. D1. Ms. Slayton. I'll throw up at that.
Good evening, council members. You have before you the master fee schedule. We bring it back annually based on a resolution that was passed back in 2008. And the fees were adjusted by either the CPI or the engineering news record, the ENR. So you'll see that the CPI went up by 3.03% and the ENR went up by 4.04, I believe. Yes, it did. I'm sorry, 3.3 on the CPI and 4.04 on the ENR. And I'm presenting the schedule to you tonight to make a decision about increasing the fees, and I think that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Start with you, Carla.
Thank you. I guess I would just ask Ms. Lichtenbaum to clarify that my understanding.
A bit of a break for those local guys that use it a lot. Weather precludes the boats from going out a lot anyway in the winter months, so we looked at what we would expect would be reasonable, and we will review it again in a year to see how it's working out, how it's, how the public responds to it, and how it affects the revenues and the impacts down there.
Thank you. No, I think it's a good thing. I know there's been several people in the community ask for that option. And then also I would address the comment made by a speaker earlier about the appeal fee, and I believe when we adjusted that a year or two ago, I want to say it was $100 or less, and we raised it to be a flat fee, and I probably didn't think that it would adjust with this either. My understanding, I think, when we did that was that it would just, that was the fee, and I don't really see a reason to do a CPI increase on it, but that's just my personal feeling.
Francie?
Thank you. That answered my questions. I'm
George?
No questions, and I also agree with Ms. Borchard regarding the increase to the appeal fee. I think $250 as a flat rate should remain as it is.
Well, I'm going to vote against this. It's just, it's nickel and dime. $3.85 to $3.95. I mean, I suppose this is all argument to pass it because I just did it with the garbage for 40 cents a month. But it's not, as Susan told me today, it's not budgeted. It's not part of our, we don't have to depend on these raises to keep the city operating, going from $1.08 to $1.12, from 21 cents to 22 cents. I don't even know why you bother with this, to be honest. Police fees, I am not in favor of raising. So I'm probably going to be the short end again, then I can tolerate it this time, but I'm going to vote no. Anybody else want to add anything to this? over here, and somebody make a motion. Or I'll make the motion. No, I don't I have any sense of where you guys are. So I'll make the motion that we didn't that we deny the master fee schedule.
I'll second.
Discussion.
My comment, I'll vote against this because I think we saw the problem of avoiding any increases where we get out of balance and then you need to come in with a much larger increase. And I wasn't involved at that point, but that became a very contentious issue, whereas if you slowly make increases that are necessary, you can avoid that pain of all of a sudden catching people off guard. So this is a minor increase. There's not a major impact to these fees. And, you know, I think there's other things we can do outside of this. I didn't agree with exactly the earlier item where we're actually returning impact fees for commercial and mixed residential projects. But I think there's ways to go about it if we see a certain problem. We don't have to necessarily put this small increase off track and get ourselves behind and into a place where we need to make a major increase all at once. So I'm in support of this as it is, and I can't vote for what you've suggested.
And I would take exception to the word necessary, that the only reason we have this is because council has directed that the master fee schedule be brought back every year. And I'm against that. I think council should ask for it back or staff should ask for it back, but it's an automatic thing now, and they cannot bring it back without raising it. They're incapable. That sounded very offensive, and I didn't mean to be offensive. But, I mean, you're asked to bring it back on an annual basis, and I just sense that you're not going to bring it back and say, oh, it's just fine with us. It has nothing to do with the operation of the city over the next year, so I would take exception to your word necessary. But am I wasting my breath here? Yeah, okay. All right.
Just to make a point, there are items in here that aren't increased. So
you're absolutely right.
It's not just
you can count them on one hand, you know. But that's true. Okay. Well, let's get be done with this then. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed. Did you vote aye? Yeah. Okay. So that motion fails. I'm listening for a motion.
I'll make a motion. Move approval of Resolution 5911, adopting the revision of the master fee schedule with the change to the appeal fee to stay at a fixed rate of $250.
Second. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. It passes either way. Do you want a breakdown of that vote, Bridget, or do you have it? Okay. D2.
In 21, I would propose a little change, and that's in the bylaws for our Public Works Advisory Board and our Harbor Board, our Public Works Advisory Board and our Rec and Park Board meet only 6 times a year. So for the absences, I would propose that we do that, that they be from 2 consecutive meetings or 3 meetings in any consecutive 12-month period. So we'd change that from 3 and 4 to 2 and 3 because there's only 6 meetings.
And what page are you on, Mom?
That would be at the top of page 18 and the middle of page 21. Under absences from meetings, those 2 boards would now say absence of a board meeting from 2 consecutive meetings or 3 meetings in a consecutive 12-month period. Staff felt that because they only meet 6 times, we should shorten the amount of absences that are allowed. I would also point out to you on page 27, one of the major changes that was made to the Tourism Business Improvement District is pursuant to your direction, we've removed the executive director for the chamber from that board and replaced that with a member at large hotel. We did that because of the potential conflict of interest now that the tourism board is funding the visitor center. So just know that position, based on input from the Tourism Business Improvement Board, would be put in with another hotel person. One of the suggestions that they made that I did not put in this document is they wanted that the chair and vice chair both be from hotels and couldn't be from any of the community at large members. I did not incorporate that in because I didn't feel that was appropriate. The board as a whole certainly can pick who they want as the chair and vice chair, and that's how all other boards and commissions pick their chair, as opposed to being from the hotel. And especially since they have a majority of hoteliers, that's probably how it will end up anyways. But I didn't think that was appropriate to put in, but I want to let you know that was one of their suggestions, and if you do want it in there, I could put that in there. And then the only other one is, as I mentioned, you know, we've now added to these bylaws the Planning Commission bylaws. I've incorporated everything that's in our ordinance into the bylaws of the Planning Commission, and if these are acceptable, then I'll bring back an ordinance deleting that section from our municipal code, so it'll no longer be in our municipal code. And then, I, as I mentioned, the Citizens Oversight Committee is now in there. So with that, I'm done.
So you will bring back an ordinance to replace an ordinance?
Just deleting that entire section, to delete it, not to an ordinance to replace it.
Great. Questions for Rob? Who did I start with last time? Go ahead, Carla.
No, I'm good. He addressed a couple things I had a concern about with PWEB and Parks and Rec. I'm good.
Nancy? George? No?
Yeah, my only question is in regards to an example is with PWEB. Occasionally they have a special meeting that's considered a public meeting outside of their regular scheduled meetings that involves a tour or a trip to a specific site within infrastructure in the city. Would that qualify as one of the two consecutive meetings in that case? And then my follow-up question is, in a special circumstance where there's a request for an excusal, do we want to have some sort of process for them to follow that's clear for the board members if something were to come up that they can refer to?
My reading of it is it's scheduled meetings. So if there's special meetings, they would be included in there, and they wouldn't be able to miss two consecutive or three total for that 12-month period. You certainly could add language that might exclude that special meetings and only be regular meetings. And then the other part of that is this doesn't differentiate between excused and unexcused. This is for all these meetings. It's just if you miss the meetings, your position will be declared vacant. I mean, council could always take a unique situation and look at it, but under the way we've written the bylaws, is there isn't differentiating between excused and unexcused.
Okay. I guess my question to council would we be willing to have a phrase in here that basically entertains a request for an excuse absence?
No.
No.
Because if you miss a meeting, you miss whatever business went on at that meeting, and it doesn't matter why you missed it, and you're not doing your duty for the community. That's my opinion.
Well, I would think in regards to PWEB and Parks and Rec also that if you miss two meetings, that's 4 months you haven't been there, then you wouldn't be there the next month. It'd be 5 months, 6 months before you show up at the next meeting. So as much as I can appreciate there's conflicts of interest, we all have them.
Executive meetings or three meetings in any consecutive 12-month period, dot, dot, dot.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Oh, so close but so far away. Declaration of future agenda items. Noah?
Yeah, thank you. I have a couple. One is simply some housekeeping. We had discussed the concept at a joint meeting or one of our meetings a ways back about an advisory board mixer. And I talked with Ms. Luker regarding that idea, and she felt like it would be important to bring that back as either a future agenda item or something for us just to say, again, affirm that we would like to see that concept pursued and implemented. So I bring that up tonight to do that.
Cool. That's one.
Do we need to discuss that as a future agenda item, or?
Well, we can't make a formal decision with anything that's not on the agenda, but it would seem to me that we could just make this happen.
I think
this is the kind of thing that you could like email the mayor and say, hey, here's an idea, what do you think? And then I could just write back and say, that's a great idea, Noah, let's do it. I'll make it happen, and I'll make it happen.
Okay, well, I'm basically checking in with the whole board because we had talked about it, but it was somewhat casually. So I think Ms. Luker just wanted to hear from us.
Then we better bring it back. Okay. We'll bring it back next time.
Okay, great. We'll put it on consent.
That's okay.
Perfect.
Cool.
I would also like to have a review of the smart meter issue. There are some things, questions that people are asking about what their options are. I think it would be important for us to review that and decide whether we would like to join with some of the other actions that communities around the state are taking to influence the CPUC and be involved with commenting on that process. So I'd like to see that come back for some discussion with the council.
Support?
Yes.
Okay. Done.
Thank you. And my third and last point is there's been the concept that we talked about with steps at the Rock parking lot area, just above the high tide, moving from the parking lot area down to the beach. And initially, we had discussed folding that into the larger discussion of rock improvements. And as I've looked at it more with some different members of the community and asked some just general questions with staff, I would like to actually see that brought back as its own item. It seems like it's simple enough that we could talk about directly and not burden the larger discussion about major improvements throughout that area with the step concept.
I will support that. And I see that project, the Rock parking lot project, and George and I talk about it often as many projects. It's such a huge area. We'll never, like, do one. So any little piece of that puzzle, I'm supportive of.
Great.
So, yes, you may bring that.
Anything else? And Ms. Burlingame and I had talked earlier about, and Mr. Woods, about the trash collection service at the Rock and the concern we had about trash and how we're dealing with that and to try to avoid the situation that we had with overflowed trash cans down there. And it sounds like they're working on it, but I thought it might be good for us to have that on our agenda as well, because I think we need to remain focused on that problem and not let it slip away from us. So I would like to see, at their discretion, when they feel like there's some options or a solution, that be brought forward to us and that we support that with a future agenda item.
Are you clear on what that is? You're going to have to just start from A on that one. I don't get it at all.
Well, we had discussed a problem of overflowing trash cans at the Rock specifically. Yes. And initially, my question at a future agenda item maybe four meetings ago was, do we want a future agenda item about this? And we discussed and consented that I think staff could take care of this on their own and not need an agenda item necessarily. But it's fairly complex, and it's something that I would like to see taken care of. So it would seem like if we put it as a future agenda item, we're going to make sure that it is resolved and that we support staff to pursue it.
I got you. You got it?
Yep.
Okay. Support on this? Yeah, you got it.
Thank you. That's it? Yeah, I'm out.
Only four? George, do you have anything?
Well, you pretty well covered what mine was.
You stole all of George's.
Yeah, you stole you stole my concept.
Great minds think alike.
I thought this was starting to move ahead. In fact, I thought we were going to move this over to Cal Poly or something like that. I was under that understanding. Anyway, is the concept project at the Rock moving, or is it just?
I don't. This isn't the appropriate time, George.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, anyway,
you have.
Thank you for the. You know.
He does, but
I'm talking about private.
I would be reluctant to legislate in any way, or to start even going, like, you're asking me to go talk to a business to tell them to light their flag. I wouldn't be comfortable doing that. I'd send Tim to do that, though. Just kidding, Tim. if you want it, it's telling people what to do with the flag on private property.
Get flyers from Valley Forge website and drop off to them. Politely just drop it off. It gives the etiquette.
And I support you doing it.
Okay.
You can go and, yeah. Okay. Carla, do you have anything? Cool. Anything from anybody else? Anything from staff? Thank you all very much. We're adjourned. And I'm sorry, Craig, about you losing your seat.
I got another seat.